New Testament of the Bible offered to you quite freely. Yours only for the taking. It is God's written word, God's testimony concerning His own Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world to save, to do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, to redeem us, bring us back to God, into a right and saving relationship with our Maker. You'd like a copy of God's Word to read, meditate upon for yourself and see what great things the Lord has done in order that sinners like you might be saved. So if you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. You're simply and only for the taking. No cost and no obligation to you. In the Old Testament of the Bible, we have what's called, referred to as the Book of Psalms. Songs, if you like, of praise to God. And of course, they're full of all kinds of instruction. You'll find the gospel there. Majority of them were written by King David, King of Israel. The sweet psalmist of Israel is one term by which he is known. And in the book of the Psalms, well, he tells us right at the very start, the very first one, he speaks about the only distinction that God makes in the human race. You and I may have many. You may, distinguish the black from the white, the rich from the poor, the fat from the thin. Men and women have all kinds of distinctions, you know, that they make concerning the human race. But God, King David tells us, has only two: the godly and the ungodly, the righteous and the unrighteous, those who are right with God and those who are not. The only two distinctions that God makes. And of course, King David goes on to tell us there in that very first psalm, he says that the way of the ungodly shall perish. He says that in that day when God judges mankind, which He will, that they will not be able to stand before God, that is, in judgment. And so it's important that we understand that distinction, and of course that we know what side of the distinction, the divided, as it was, that we are in, godly or ungodly. But then of course King David goes on in the second psalm to explain to us something of, you know, what the state of humanity is, the problem, you know. And the problem, I mean, you might have noticed, you know, that men and women, you know, they don't quite function correctly. You know, we don't even come up to our own standards, never mind God's, you know. And you look at the human race, and maybe perhaps you've asked yourself the question a time or two, you know, why don't we get on with one another? Why don't we love one another? You know, why aren't we kind to one another? Why are we so nasty? Why are we always killing one another? You know, and stuff like that. You know, well, the answer is, you see, and only the Bible gives you the answer. And it's not political. You know, it's not educational. You can educate people, but some of the educated people in the world, they're some of the worst people in the world. And if politics is the answer, well, if you look at your politicians, the majority of them, at least anyway, they're thieves and liars. The most of them. Not all, but the most of them. So politics, education, isn't the answer. So the question is, well, what's the problem? And then once you've got the diagnosis, once you've got the case, what the state is, then maybe, well, you can begin to think about what maybe the answer might be. Well, King David, he goes on to say in the second psalm that he wrote, he says, he asks a question. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You see, my friends, it's the rebellion. It's the old, old rebellion in men's hearts against God and against his anointed. You see, the problem is much, much deeper than what you do, what you say, and even what you think. My friends, it's a heart problem. It's deep within us. We are, the Bible goes on to say, you know, we are conceived, every one of us. We are conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin and die in sin. But that is for the grace of God coming to us, intervening, and saving us. So you see, my friends, that's the case. You see, we're all born into a state of rebellion. And just as the psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel, just as he says here, the attitude, you see, of man, all men is, let us break their bands asunder, cast away the cords, all the restraints, you know. Let's cast them off. We don't want God telling us what to do. We don't want God ruling over us, reigning over us. We just want to do our own thing. And so, men, you see, this is the state in which we come into the world in which we're born. It's a heart condition. Departure from apostasy from God. And of course the Bible, well, the New Testament tells us, you know, that that's the reason why the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold under the truth in unrighteousness, because they've got hearts of rebellion. They've got hearts, you see, that have departed from God, want to cast all his restraints from off them, do their own thing, don't want God, don't want his son, don't want his salvation. And so God says, in effect, okay, that's what you want. I'll open another door for you, and I'll even give you a little push through the door. I'll give you what you want. And he gives us over to our rebellion. He gives us over to our anarchy. He gives us over to the chaos that you see in the world, in humanity today. It's God's judgment, you see. It's God's wrath upon a rebellious and sinful human race. And my friends, when you see the visitations of judgment that come upon the human race, earthquakes and storms, tsunamis and viruses, pestilences, you know, COVID-19s and the like, my friends, it's a wonder that we don't get more. It's a wonder that God doesn't wipe us off of this planet altogether. But God, you see, in his forbearance, you see, God continues on and will continue on to the end, you see, until that day comes when he judges every one of us. For we must all appear before the judgment throne of God, every one of us. So in that day, my friends, the ungodly shall not stand. The ungodly shall perish from their way, the psalmist, he says. That is, unless, of course, God, by His grace, brings them to repentance, to turn from their sin, turn from their rebellion against God, and turn in faith to His Son, Jesus Christ. And that, of course, well, that's what David goes on to talk about. He says, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. The Son of God, my friends, Jesus Christ, sent into the world, sent, my friends, to be a mediator, appointed and anointed to save God's people, to save those whom God has chosen, elected from before the foundation of the world, who will hear the gospel that I'm preaching to you today, who will be convicted of their sin, convicted of their unrighteousness, and convicted of the judgment to come, and will turn, flee into the arms of Jesus, and receive the salvation that God, in His goodness, kindness, and mercy, has produced and provided. That, my friends, that we could never, never provide for ourselves. A righteousness from God, my friends. The only righteousness that will enable you to stand in that day of judgment. The ungodly shall not stand, says David, only the righteous, those who stand in God's righteousness. Because your righteousness and mine, God says, are like filthy rags. Unacceptable to God, untouchable even, you know, not fit to be in God's universe, not fit to be in God's creation. Away with it, says God. It's an abomination to me. Your righteousnesses, that's the best of your deeds. That's the best that you can muster. That's the best that you can offer to God. Now, my friends, in that day when God judges you, you need to be found in the righteousness, trusting in the righteousness of another, one who has a perfect righteousness. And that person, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You need to be found in Him, trusting in Him, believing in Him. For the person who believes in Jesus, you see, is credited with His perfect righteousness. And God looks upon such a person without any condemnation, without any blame, looks upon that person, my friends, as being without any sin at all. Now you may claim, you may say today that you have no sin, but God says you're a liar. Because you see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none, there's not a man, a woman, says God, that sinneth not. So you see, my friends, that righteousness that God has produced and provided and sets forth before you here today in the gospel is your greatest, deepest, and I tell you, your direst need to get into Jesus Christ, to get out of your sin, to get out of your rebellious nature, to get out of that apostasy in which you were conceived, in which you were born, in which you came into the world, and in which you live and will die and go to a lost eternity unless you are saved by Jesus Christ, the only Savior and the only Mediator. I commend them to you. I really, really do. So David goes on to speak about the answer, and he says, serve the Lord with fear, the fear of God. Elsewhere, he says in the book of Psalms, he says that there is no fear of God before their eyes. Men do not fear God like they ought to do. You ought to walk in fear of God because He's the sovereign. He's the almighty creator, preserver, governor of the universe. And He's also the judge of all mankind, the judge who always does right, the one who's one day going to judge you. So my friends, you ought to fear Him. If you feared God, you would not have to fear anything or anything else. But you walk about in fear, terrified of a tiny little virus that you can't even see. But not afraid of God, not feared of God. Oh my friends, this is what you ought to be doing. Serving the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Rejoice, but how can you rejoice in the misery of your sin, my friends? Is not, my friends, sin your sin the cause? The cause of your misery? You go about all day and every day miserable. It's written all over your faces, day after day. Happiness, you say, is the chief end of man, but where is your happiness? You never appear to attain it. And if you are happy ever, well then, it's only for 5 minutes. Because maybe you've got some money, or maybe because you've got some booze inside you, or maybe some drugs in your veins. But otherwise, my friends, it's just the old, old misery. When you could have joy, rejoicing before God with trembling. Joy, why? Because your sins forgiven. Joy, because God has written your name in heaven. Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it's not, I tell you, in that day when God judges all men, the books will come out and God's finger will go down the list of names one after another. And if your name's not written in His book, you're gone. You're history. You're gone to your own place. The lake of fire, the Bible calls it, where the fire, the flames are never quenched. So you see, my friends, rejoice with trembling. Well, you can do if you know, if you have the certainty, if you have the assurance in your heart that your name indeed is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And only the Lamb Himself can write it there. And He must write it with His own blood. Back in the Old Testament, Moses the prophet, he said that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness, no remission of sin. So my friends, without the blood sacrifice that God has provided, my friends, you cannot be forgiven. Your sin cannot be treated. Your COVID-19 might be able to be treated by a vaccine, but the sin virus, well, my friends, you must needs be inoculated with the blood of God's Son. By faith, that is, in His name.
Do you want a cup of tea?
I go on then.
Milk?
Yes, please. No sugar. No sugar.
Milk.
Yes, please. Thank you very much, my dear. So you see, but here's the thing, my friends. God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice. His own Son. He's called in the New Testament the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And would take your sin away should you repent of it. Would take your sin away should you believe on His name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, thy house, and your name written in the Lamb's Lamb's book of life, and then you'll be able to rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with trembling and serve the Lord with fear, with a holy awe, that is, of the sovereign God, creator of the universe and judge of all mankind. So David, he says, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. That is, embrace the Son. Love the Son. You see, there's only one way back to God from this path of rebellion, anarchy, chaos. Only one way back, and it's through Jesus, through the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, who came full of grace and truth. Only one way, my friends. And the only one way to be saved, to be reconciled to God, is to call upon the name of His Son. Call, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, the Son of God, shall be saved. So you must needs call upon Him. Kiss the Son. Embrace the Son. Trust the Son. The Son of God, I mean. And you'll be right, and you'll be happy forevermore. To kiss the Son means to worship Him, means to profess loyalty, allegiance to Him, to submit to Him. Submit to Him in His office as prophet. He's God's ultimate prophet, you see. Jesus, I mean. He's the one, you see, who is able, as God's prophet, to teach you. To teach you what it means to repent. To teach you what it means to believe. He must teach you, you see. Unless you're taught of God, my friends, you cannot walk with God. Here you are in ignorance. You don't even know what the word repentance means. You don't know what it means to believe in Jesus. Only He can teach you. Only He can lead you to that place. So what does He say about repentance? He says, let the wicked forsake his way. The ungodly. Because the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The way of the ungodly shall perish, He says. So you see. Thank you, my dear. Would you put it down there for me? Yes, please.
Right.
My dear, bless you. Thank you very much.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
God.
Thank you. So like I say, you see, friends, let the wicked, the ungodly, forsake his way. That is your pattern, your practice of living. Because it's unacceptable. It's contrary to God. So it has to go. There has to be a change, you see, in your practice. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The thinking has to change, because your thinking's wrong. Your thinking's simple, just like the rest of you. So there has to be a change of mind, a deep, deep change of mind. And instead of thinking according to the world's values, you think God's thoughts after Him, what you find in the Bible, that is. And when you begin to align your thinking with God's thoughts, then you find your way changing, you find your practice changing. That's repentance, you see. But only Jesus, only when you kiss the Son, do you find that change, that transformation beginning to take place. But then He'll teach you, as God's prophet, He'll teach you what it means to believe, to truly believe. Faith, you see, my friends, He'll tell you is the gift of God, not something you can do yourself. You might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces and try to believe yourself. You cannot, my friends. There's none of us, not one of us, can lift a single little finger to help ourselves. We're lost, we're undone, we're totally ruined in sin, in rebellion against God. He must do it, and He must give us the gift of faith. But Jesus, God's prophet, will instruct you, he'll tell you. Ask, he'll tell you, and it shall be given. Seek, he'll tell you, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. But I guess if you don't ask, you don't get. If you don't seek, you don't find. If you don't knock, well, the door's not open to you. But there's another door that will open. And the Bible says the judge is before the door even now. And soon that door will be opened and you'll be ushered into the presence of the judge. But too late to ask then, too late to seek then, too late to knock then. Now is the time. Now is the acceptable time. So kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Go to him. Go to God's prophet and let him teach you what it means.
How do you know that now is the acceptable time?
Could you please come a bit closer? I can't hear you.
How do you know that now is the acceptable
time? Because that's what God says, is what the Bible. Now is the acceptable time.
How do you know that?
Because it's what God says. And it's what the Bible. It's the Word of God.
So he says that 2020 is acceptable to understand.
The acceptable time is while you live and breathe in this world. Because once you breathe your last and go out of the world, it's too late. But then the end, the Bible also tells us that we are living in the last days. Yeah? The last of the last days even. And when God brings an end, the end comes when Jesus returns to judge the world in righteousness, then the shutters come down and the marketplace of grace is closed.
But isn't that what the Jehovah's Witnesses preach as well?
No, it's not. They're heretics. They're damnable heretics. They do not teach that at all. You must not listen to them, madam. If you listen to them, you'll be led astray. You'll be led into further darkness. Yeah? Read God's word for yourself. Would you take a copy of God's word if I offered it to you?
I'm a Jew, I read it all.
You're a?
I'm a Jew, I read it all.
Oh, do you? Right, well, in the Torah, you'll know then, if you're a Jew, a practicing Jew, in the Torah, the prophet Moses, he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Yeah? In Judaism, you have no blood sacrifice because you reject God's Messiah, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Jesus,
yes, I have. Thoroughly, many times. Yeah. And Moses talks about the very prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 18, check it out if you will. There he speaks, he says, God will raise you up another prophet from amongst yourselves, a Jew, yeah? And there he's prophesying, he's speaking about the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, whom of course the Jews rejected and nailed to a cross. But many of them, not all of them, many of them on the day of Pentecost repented of that heinous crime and were forgiven. But many others didn't.
But so, you have to remember, it wasn't the Jews that nailed him to the cross, it was the Romans. And they were so scared of going against the Romans that they went along with what was being said.
Yes,
always remember that. No, madam.
It was Caiaphas, the Jewish, the high priest, instigated the crucifixion. Crucify him! Crucify him, they cried. Killing their own Messiah. So go to Jesus, kiss the Son, God's prophet, let him teach you what it means to repent, what it means to believe in order to be saved, to receive a faith, the gift of God infused in you by God himself in the preaching of the gospel. Oh, kiss the Son, lest you be angry and you perish from the way. Go to Jesus. Kiss the Son, God's God's great high priest, the one, my friends, who offered himself a sacrifice to God, and a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, for the sins of sinners. My friends, acceptable to God. You say to me, how do you know if it's acceptable to God? Because of his resurrection from the dead. If Jesus had remained in the tomb, if Jesus were not alive today, my friends, his sacrifice would have meant nothing. The cross would have meant nothing. But he gave himself. He said, I have power. I have the authority to lay down my life. And that's what he did. And he says, I have power. I have the authority to take my life again, to rise again from the dead. And that's exactly what he did. He laid down his life, a ransom for many. And he rose again from the dead, signifying that the sacrifice that he offered to God for sinners was acceptable to God. And so therefore, everybody and anybody who comes to God through him, I tell you, acceptable to God. But of course, the Jews rejected their Messiah. And so do the subscribers to Islam. They reject God's sacrifice also. They refuse to kiss the Son, lest they be angry and they perish from the way. They reject him as the Son of God, as the only begotten of the Father. They reject him as the Messiah, as God's King. They reject him as God the Son, you see. And so therefore they cannot be saved. They cannot be washed. They cannot be forgiven. They may be religious, but they're in their sins yet. Still in their sins. A blood sacrifice is necessary. And God has provided that blood sacrifice, his own Son, God's Lamb, which taketh away the sins of those who will put their trust in him, who will kiss the Son, embrace the Son, trust in the Son, love the Son, serve him with fear, rejoicing and trembling. Go to Jesus. Go to the Son of God. He's the King, don't you know? He's referred to in the Bible as the King of Kings. He's the ultimate ruler. Jesus Christ is Lord. I declare to you today, not some dead prophet like Muhammad that lies in the grave molding just like old John Brown. No, my friends, it's not a dead prophet you need. It's a living Savior. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's why the Bible calls Jesus Christ Lord. Not the Pope, not Buddha, not Muhammad. No, my friends, Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because he laid down his life for sinners and took it again. It's alive and alive forevermore. Rules and reigns throughout the universe. And comes, my friends, time and again in judgment. But comes to you today in the gospel. Comes to you today with good news. The good news that he, his rule over you, might come to you. The kingdom of God. That's why he commands you, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's rule, the kingdom of God's grace, the kingdom of God's love comes to you today. The King is announced, declared amongst you, set forth before you today. Will you have him to rule over you in grace and love? Or will you wait until you incur his wrath. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Now is the time, now is the accepted time, my friends, to be saved, that is. Go to Jesus, kiss the Son, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. If you continue to reject him, if you continue to spurn him, if you continue to turn your back upon the Son and not kiss him, but reject him, hate him, and reject his ruling over you, his kingdom, then you're left with nothing but his anger. You're left with nothing but his wrath, my friends. The wrath of God that is already revealed from heaven amongst you. Even now today, my friends, the wrath of God is upon your world, upon your nation, upon your town. It's all over you like a rash, my friends. Can't you see the chaos? Can't you see the anarchy? Can't you see, my friends, the immorality? Can't you see the wickedness that you're given over to in the wrath of God because of your rejection of the Son of God? The wrath of God remains upon you. And my friends, if Jesus is set forth before you and you're bidden, you're commanded to kiss the Son and you say no, well then you kindle his anger, his wrath even more. Until such times as you shall be consumed with his anger and with his wrath. Oh, kiss the Son today. Turn. Repent, my friends, and turn to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be reconciled to God through him. Lest the wrath of God cut you off in midlife. You might be young today. You might be in your youth. You might be in your middle age. You might be an old person. But my friends, think about it. A rejection, yet another rejection of the Son of God to kiss him. And he could come to you in a moment, I tell you. In a moment, in his anger, in his wrath, and cut you off in the midst of life. And you're gone. You're gone, you're out of this world and into the presence of Almighty God, the judge of all the earth, who will judge you for your rejection of God's Son. It's appointed, don't you know, unto man once to die. That's God's no. That's God's no upon your rejection of the gospel. That's God's no to your disobedience to the gospel. God's no is, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The wages of sin is death. Must be, can't be any other. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that comes the judgment. My friends, lest you be cut off in the midst of life, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. His wrath is kindled but a little, even a little bit of wrath, I tell you. His wrath is enough, I tell you, to destroy you eternally. Never mind the fullness of his wrath, the one day will be visited upon the ungodly, wicked reprobate. My friends, in that day, this ungodly, reprobate world will be made to drink the fullness and the fierceness of the you will not kiss the Son and make him angry and kindle his wrath but a little. In that day, the Bible says, that men and women will be crying down the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the presence of the wrath of the Lamb of God. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, and kindle his wrath but a little. My friends, when once, I tell you, when once his wrath breaks out, once his wrath breaks out, I tell you, it's unquenchable. Today it can be taken away from you. Today the wrath of God that lies upon you because of your apostasy, your departure from God, your rejection of God, because of your apostasy, the wrath of God hangs upon you now, but could be lifted by the gospel, could be lifted by kissing the Son, embracing the Son of God. But if you reject him, if you kindle his anger and it breaks out, my friends, it will be unquenchable. Absolutely nothing. Nothing in heaven and earth will stop it, will stay it. But today, the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, applied by faith, my friends, faith in the Son of God, would lift the wrath of God from off of you. Oh, to rely upon the Son of God, to kiss the Son, would be the removal of God's wrath from you forever. Relying upon the Son of God, kissing the Son of God, everlasting happiness, rejoicing with trembling. Taking the Son for your righteousness. A perfect righteousness apart from your own. A righteousness that will enable you to stand before God in that day with confidence, knowing that there is no condemnation for you because you have trusted in the Son of God, believed on his name, because you have received his perfect righteousness. Only kissing the Son will bring that to you. Religion won't do that for you. Muhammad won't do that for you. The Pope of Rome won't do that for you. The Watchtower Society won't do that for you. Did any of them die for you? Did any of them die for sinners? Muhammad didn't die for sinners. Jesus Christ did. Watchtower Society didn't do nothing for sinners but lead them into further darkness. No, my friends. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. Trusting in a false righteousness. Trusting in your own righteousness. Trusting in the righteousness of false religion will damn you. You'll incur the wrath of God, the everlasting wrath of God, lest you kiss the Son, lest you turn to Jesus Christ, lest he sanctifies you, separates you from this world, and separates you unto God, that you may be able to serve the Lord with fear the rest of your days, the very reason for which you were created, and the very reason for which God saves men, delivers them from his own wrath, saves them by the blood of his Son Jesus Christ, in order that they might serve God, worship God in spirit and in truth, not according to that which is false, not according to that which is outward. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh is just flesh. That's all it is. What will I wear? What will I eat? What will I drink? That's all you ever think about. Why? Because you've never been born again. You haven't got spiritual life in you. Religion can't put spiritual life into you. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can do that for you. Why, you must be born again, says Jesus. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again, because you must be. Spiritual life. God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Not outward religion, not, my friends, false religion. No, my friends, God must come and God must perform this surgery upon you. Open up your heart, my friends, and let out the poison of sin and put His Spirit in you. Put life into you, love into you. Shed His love abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Give to you life and love and liberty. Set free from the law of sin and death. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish. Ye perish from the way when His anger is kindled but a little. Redeemed, my friends. Redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse that hangs upon the entire race. In its apostasy, in its rebellion, in its anarchy against heaven and against God, against its Maker. Oh, my friends, redeemed from the curse that lies upon the entire race because of that rebellion. Cursed, my friends, cursed, the curse of God lies upon you without Christ. Without the Son, without you kiss Him. But He, my friends, gave Himself the ransom. He came. He gave Himself up to the death of the cross in order to redeem sinners from the curse, that it might be lifted off you, my friends. When you trust in Jesus, when you believe in the Son of God, when you kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way. Joy unspeakable, my friends, in exchange for the wrath that lies upon you now. Joy unspeakable. Joy that is inexpressible, my friends. A joy way down deep in your heart. A joy, says Jesus, that no one can take away from you. Oh, they might persecute you. Oh, they might mock you. Oh, they might deride you. Oh, they might separate themselves from you. But they cannot take the joy away from you. The joy that Jesus only can give you, the joy from knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that your name is written in heaven, and knowing that all is well between you and your Maker. Forgiveness of sins. Remission of sin, my friends. Your sin sent so far away that not even God Himself can find it. Oh, there is forgiveness with God that He might be feared. The heart of the gospel, my friends. Forgiveness, a way back to God from the dark path of sin, from the dark path of rebellion, apostasy, anarchy. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way back to God's not the way of the ungodly. The way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. But there's another way, a way that God has provided. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. And there's no other. No other, my friends. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says Jesus. No one comes to God. No one gets right with God but by Jesus Christ. None other name. None other name under heaven. The whole canopy of heaven. None other name given whereby you must be saved. Only Jesus, only the Son of God, the begotten of the Father, who came, who brought grace and truth. The grace that would save, the truth that would set you free, the forgiveness, the faith that would bring eternal life to you, everlasting life. Whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be disappointed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. Call today upon the name of the Lord. Kiss the Son, lest you be angry and you perish from the way. Blessed, happy, says God, happy are all they that put their trust in Him, in the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, second person of the blessed Holy Trinity, God the Son, sent into the world to die on a cross, a Roman cross, to bleed and die, and rise again from the dead, who reigns now from heaven, a Savior, and a King. Kiss the Son. Bend an knee. Take an knee today before King Jesus. Before you kindle His anger. Before you kindle His wrath. Before He destroys you for all eternity. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do it today, my friend. Do it today while you may, because today is all you've got. Now is all that you've got. You haven't got an hour's time. You haven't got tomorrow. You haven't got 10 years hence. You haven't got your old age. All you've got now. Now is the acceptable time, says God. Now is the time to get right with God. And now is the only time given to you to kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way. The ungodly, that is, perish in their way. Turn, my friends, today. Turn to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Lay hold upon Him, and He will save. He will save. The command with the promise, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere to repent. Except you repent, says Jesus, ye shall all likewise perish. We would not have you to perish. We would want you to be saved. We would want you to repent. Seriously, solemnly. Serious times, my friends, require serious people. This is a serious time, but I see before me a very, very unserious people. You need to get serious about God before it's too late. You need to kiss the Son lest he be angry and you perish from the way. You need to get right with God. Do it today. Command of the Savior, the Son of God, the lovely Son of God who loved sinners and gave himself for them. Command you, repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye also, repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? Check these things out for yourself. Take my word for it. Read God's word. Meditate upon it. Study the word of God offered to you freely without cost to you. No obligation, none whatsoever. Like a copy of God's word? Come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. The word of God comes to you from the God that does not, cannot lie. Speaks from heaven. It's the very mouth of God. The word of God. Read, study, meditate. Cry out to God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Like a copy of God's word, you come and ask.